already had the extra one.
From before, see? Sustainability.
That's not sustainability. Overusing at a later time is not sustainability.
Kind of sneaking behind you there.
Come on.
So warm. Such a nice beach.
So like,
no way.
In a good way.
Okay. So much about.
Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6:05 p.m. and we'll start off today with the attendance. President Yamagishi.
Present.
Vice President Chellen.
Present.
Vice President Kuzmu.
Present.
Vice President Chima.
Present.
Vice President Sumar.
Yeah.
Governor Kelly.
Present.
Councillor Milner. Councillor Kim.
Present.
Councillor McGinn.
Present.
Councillor Kinda. Sorry? Oh, sorry, Fox. Perfect. Councillor Mills is present. Councillor Ruth?
Present.
Councillor, Miss Cook for Councillor Borden?
Present.
Councillor Lay?
Present.
Councillor Holt?
Present.
Councillor Smith?
Present.
Councillor Mikula? Councillor Curlew. Councillor Liang.
Here.
Councillor Crone. Councillor Babick. Miss Kowalski for Councillor Babick. Councillor Reitz. Councillor Carson. Councillor Bellinger. Councillor Chaudry. Councillor Champagne is present. Councillor Truong. Councillor Kuchi Kirill. Councillor Nguyen.
Present.
Councillor Pham.
Present.
Councillor Bui. Councillor Obiafuna.
Present.
Councillor Hodson is present. I am here and the general manager is not. Perfect.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
President Yamagishi and a point of parliamentary inquiry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just wondering if a councillor resigns, are they still above the attendance?
They should not be. Is there a particular councillor you're referring to? Thank you very much. I will make sure I note that. Okay, so with that, we'll move on to speaker's business. And so just a couple things. Please remember, I'd like to remind you of the oath that you have all taken. Also, I will be special ordering item 6C from the late editions to take place after item 6B, which will take place right after presentations, and that is because our standing orders indicate that those nominations are special orders. Also, item 7A and 7B will be moved to take place after items 6B and 6C after presentations for the same reasons. And just another note, based on just some questions that came up. Just, I want to explain to Students Council what a motion to censure is, and that's because it came up in a question. I think there was some confusion as to what it is. So a motion to censure is not censor. A motion to censure, as defined by standing orders, is a formal Students' Council may rebuke the action or conduct of an individual through a motion to censure. A censure is an on-the-record rebuke that entails no additional actions or consequences. So it is generally used when Council would like to distance itself from a comment or action of an individual member of that body, and that's what a motion to censure would do, so that you all know. If you have any questions about it, you can always ask a point of parliamentary inquiry when you have the question. So with that, we will move right into presentations, and the first presentation is the Executive Replenishment Bylaw, sponsored by Councillor Smith, presented by Councillor Smith. Do we have a seconder for this motion? Vice President Sumar, is there any opposition to seeing this presentation? With that, the floor is yours, Councillor Smith.
Just a little bit of background to get started on this. Last year's Student Council passed a impeachment bylaw for the executive and the Board of Governors representative, but due to timing, they're unable to put in a bylaw in place to refill this vacancy. So right now, the bylaw committee is working on trying to put together a bylaw, but we decided that it would be better to bring what we have so far to council to kind of get some feedback from you guys. See, this kind of the bylaw as we're kind of looking at it right now has two phases. The first stage is if the vacancy occurs between May 1st, the start of the council year, and the first student council meeting in September. If the vacancy occurs in this time period, what we would do, council would put someone in place on an interim basis until the by-election that is described in bylaw 2300. The idea behind this is just that we don't have to wait till the election that is already happening. And I'll get into the process for this in just a minute. Also, the next stage is if it's after the first council meeting, then we cannot, and before the end of the term, we can't actually put it on the bylaw or on the by-election. Makes sense if it happens after the by-election. So the idea is then there'd still be the same process that you would implement the interim chair or the interim executive for the permanent basis after the meeting. So, I kind of broke this down into three stages. The first one is the meeting in which the vacancy occurs, the council meeting. So be it a resignation or impeachment, that meeting, afterward, that's settled. Council would then work to create the executive nominee selection committee. I believe that's the name. The idea behind this is to limit it. If we do have like 50 people apply, I know it's a strange situation, but if it does, we don't want to bog down council so we can actually look at the candidates thoroughly. So this committee would be formed from members of student council, and they would meet only in the event that we had more than 10 nominations. Then they'd try to bring that number to 10, just so then it's more manageable. Now, So the next business day, so likely a Wednesday following the vacancy, the CRO would be responsible for posting the nomination and making the nominations available for the general students union membership. After that, also the nomination package would require 50 signatures to be considered valid. Same rules for these signatures as a normal executive. They would have to be students in good standing with the UMA or the Students Union.
The candidate shall also submit a resume, or whatever we want to call it, along with this, just so that if in the event that we do need the executive selection nominee, executive nominee selection committee, so it has to meet, they can actually have something to look at and use that to whittle. The nominee, 7 days prior to the next council meeting, we would then close nominations. This allows time for the speaker to get, or them to get the nominations on the new, on the agenda. It allows time for, if the executive selection committee needs to meet, then they can do it and whittle down the candidates. Also, yes, so again, 10 candidates, the executive nomination selection committee does not need to meet unless we get a very large number. This is because we want to make sure to be as democratic as possible. So if we can, if council can manage it, all the people who apply, then we'd like to. The next, so then the students council meeting following the vacancy. This is 2 weeks later. It's a very tight time schedule, but then again, this would be an emergency situation, so we want to make it as fast as possible. So, student council would interview the candidates. Then they would, each member of council would have an opportunity to ask them questions, kind of similar to the process we have for the speaker, the election of a speaker within council. And then after this, it'll be discussed, and then we'll vote, secret ballot, preferential, same kind of idea as normal. Now, this is a very brief summary. The idea behind this is we want feedback. We'd like you to ask questions, give us concerns about this process, because it's very important. For a bylaw like this, we want a lot of consultation. So if you have any suggestions or questions for the bylaw committee, we'd really appreciate that. Thanks. I hope it made sense.
Do you
want
me to handle questions?
Yeah, please. Okay. Are there any questions for Councillor Smith? Governor Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you very much for the presentation. My question is with regards to, so you mentioned that after the first meeting of Students Council in September, then after that point, it'll be an appointment, right? And so, I'm sorry, I missed this. So in terms of people who would apply for that appointment, you mentioned, I think, that the executive committee would narrow it down if you had too many. So my thoughts are just potentially, would it be maybe a good idea to have I'm not saying that the executive committee is biased, but you might have a good idea to have sort of a separate committee, either of counselors or maybe of just of general students. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Sorry if I didn't make that clear. I did state in there that there is going to be a separate committee that's formed. Yeah, and that would be from the General Student Council. It would be four members. And actually, that is a change, and I agree. That is a change that we actually moved from the proposal that was suggested last year that had specific numbers of executive on there. And the reason we took that out is in the event that's happened on other campuses, when one member's in of the executives in the piece, lots of the often numerous members of the executive step down in solidarity, so you wouldn't want that to restrict here. So we actually left it to just four members within this student council. Thank you.
Councillor Light.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the presentation, Councillor Smith. Do you think 6 days would be long enough for nominations in the event of the vacancy happening after the September 5th?
In that section, again, we're looking for feedback on here. The reason why we made it so short is because we wanted to make sure that it had time to get on to the next week's student council meeting. We were worried that if it took too long, if it was taken closer to a month, not having an executive for a month would create even more situations, especially because in most cases, if we are impeaching, an executive member, it's probably that portfolio is probably not the best standing to begin with. So taken for like 4 weeks out was a strain to the students here. But I do appreciate that because that is a very valid concern.
Vice President Sumar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Great job, Councilor Smith, on the presentation. Just a comment to add to the previous question. The other thing you have to remember as well is that within the impeachment bylaw, there has to be two council meetings before the person can get impeached. So although you have the six or 7 days prior to the deadline, between the deadline and the council meeting, you also have it could be foreseeable that a vacancy would open up if the impeachment goes to the first meeting. So there's arguments that executive or the board of governors or the representative to get impeached. And with that regard, I think the gateway as well as other sort of formal media would cover that. So I think it would get a lot of press. So that's just something to add on to that short timeline. So you also have that 2 weeks before. Just a note.
Are there any further questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Councillor Smith, for the presentation. So moving on then to item 6B, which is Kuzmu moves that upon the recommendation of the Senate Nomination Committee, the Council Administration Committee recommends to the Students' Council the following three student representatives to be appointed to the Senate: Catherine Zoletta, Zachary A. Fentiman, and William R. Pickering. Is there a seconder to this motion? Governor Kelly. Very well. Vice President Kuzmu, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, on the Senate, there are four student representatives. There's myself, and there are three others that Ms. Brown chooses to nominate. And yes, we see there's a pretty good struck by the outgoing Vice President Sterno, and he consists of pretty much his the last year's outgoing, I guess, three senators. Outgoing Vice President Sterno and the incoming Vice President Sterno is beautiful. We need to go through the application that building that. And these were the three candidates that we thought would do an excellent job on the Senate. So, how do you like that?
Is there any debate on this motion? Nope. With that, then we'll go to a vote.
So you may vote yes, no, or abstain. Just hit the buttons corresponding to the word.
Personal privilege.
Sure.
I do ask questions in this case.
Yes, questions.
Question could have been directed, could be directed to the floor, had we had the question asked. If you would like to ask the question, I'll allow it if you want. However, that should have been done during debate. Would you like to ask the question to the floor?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Would you be able to explain what the role of the student senators would be on Senate, and what its relation is to students council or the students union in general?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's an excellent question, but I'm glad you asked that. So the Senate is essentially in charge of the external, community type of relations in the university and the part of the community. The Senate used to, and you guys have learned more about this during council retreat, which is this weekend, and I hope you guys come out. But the Senate had a lot of its power stripped in the past. Now it's, I guess, not actually that much meaningful power, I guess, one could say. Something that the Senate does is a lot like they have a youth school program. So they get children from, let's say, low socioeconomic backgrounds, and they get them to check out the university, and they encourage them to come to the Senate. The Senate does really good jobs of had like report inquiries, so they had like a big, huge reports on student engagement and that. I think there's one on mental health recently. But yeah, so they kind of do, and they consist of various members of the community as well. So yeah, it's a really interesting body, and the role of student senators is just kind of, we share voice, student opinions. There's no actual, I guess,
you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. President, but
there's not an actual direct relationship between Students' Council and the Senate, only in the sense that I, as Vice President of the Senate, get to sit on the Senate, and we get to choose the student senators, and they essentially just take part in the committees and give their input, so raise student issues.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. So just a quick reminder to councillors, during debate, if you would like to ask a direct question to an individual, clarifying basically something they're saying, a point of information while their microphone is still on is usually a good way to do this. If we are in debate, there's no formal way to ask questions to an individual. You would ask a question to the floor and hope that the individual who is implicated in your question would respond to the question during debate. So with that, is there any further debate? Okay. President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to add one thing, is that the Senate, one of its most official rules is that they work towards the selection of honorary degree recipients. So, as seen last year. Yes, I see.
Thank you very much. Anything else?
Okay, so you may vote yes, no, or abstain. Again, the numbers correspond to the words written on your keypads. You may vote now. Three, two, one. The motion passes, 22 in favor, one abstention, zero opposed.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to item 6C, which is from the late editions. Hodgson Lay moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Audit Committee. There's already a seconder for this motion, so I will allow Councillor Hodgson to introduce.
Can you hear me?
Can everyone hear Councillor Hodgson?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so we just wanted to add one more person to the committee just to ensure that we were always meeting our quorum. We were a little bit close last meeting, and there's audit committee also deals with when we're going through credit card statements and profit and loss statements from different businesses. It's a lot easier if we have more eyes on them. It takes less time, so just splitting up the workload a little bit more. So we could just use one more. And that will wrap it up.
Thank you very much. With that, are there any nominations? Vice President Sumar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This isn't a nomination, this is more of just a question to the floor, I guess. Who are the current members of the committee?
I would like to remind Council that the best way to do that is through a point of information while the individual is speaking. You could also direct it as a point of parliamentary inquiry should you be asking a general question about how the procedure works. So I'll take that as a point of parliamentary inquiry and asking who else is on the committee, and I'll allow Councillor Hodgson to respond if he would like.
Okay, so the members of the committee currently are Councillor Lay, Councillor Mills, Councillor Obiafuna, Councillor Trung, and Councillor Pham.
Very well. Are there any nominations? Seeing none. Governor Kelly.
I nominate Councillor Pham.
Very Ms. Kowalski, would you...
I apologize, I don't know the procedure. Are we voting on this currently, right now, then?
Yes, fair question. So what will happen is someone will be nominated. If there is more than one nominee, they will be given time to speak, and then we will vote on the appointment to the committee.
I think I'll have to decline.
Very well. Thank you very much. Councillor Obifuna.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Liang.
Councillor Liang, do you accept?
I'm afraid not.
Are there any further nominations? Going once. Councillor Lay.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Holt.
Councillor Holt, do you accept?
I'm going to have to respectfully decline.
Councillor Holt declines. Going once. Going twice. Councillor Bellinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Councillor Borden.
Councillor Borden, do you accept? for Councillor Borden. Ms. Cook, on behalf of Councillor Borden.
I'm probably going to have to decline.
Ms. Cook declines. Are there any further nominations? Vice President Kuzmu. Councillor Nguyen.
First of all, my name is Nguyen. And I respectfully decline because you requested it.
Are there any further nominations, Councillor Chong?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Kinda.
I'm not going to allow that. Oh, sorry, Ms. Powell, I forgot. Ms. Powell.
Yeah, I'll decline.
Are there any further nominations? Sorry? Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Is there any way to find out, just by simple raising of placards, if anyone is interested in being on the committee rather than going through a process appointing mayor to focus on living sentences?
No, to answer your question, no, there is not. However, based on a question like that, I would assume if there was any individuals who would be willing to step up, now would be a very good time for those individuals to nominate themselves, which is perfectly acceptable according to our process.
When is here?
President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If there was a councillor who recently declined an invitation because of an implied conflict of interest from the proposer of the nomination, that may be interested
in
the committee,
could they be nominated
the second time after declining?
I'm going to say yes. I have a question. Point of parliamentary inquiry, Councillor Wynn. Go ahead, sir.
What is the meeting for audit?
Very good question. Councillor Hodgson?
Sorry, could you repeat that? Sorry, I didn't quite catch it.
Sure. The question was, when does the committee meet?
The committee meets every other Monday at 6 p.m. So the next Monday is on, or next meeting is on June 4th.
Are there any nominations? Going once, going twice. Governor Kelly.
I'll nominate myself.
Governor Kelly nominates himself. I assume you accept.
I do.
Are there any further nominations? With that, congratulations to Governor Kelly. Okay. Moving on then to item 7A. Item 7A, CHIMA moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the World University Services of Canada Student Refugee Program Board. Is there a seconder to this motion? Vice President Sumar, Vice President CHIMA, would you care to introduce?
Certainly, Mr. Speaker, thank you very much. So the World University Services of Canada, or the WUS Student Refugee Program, is one of our three non-external dedicated units, subject to being the Golden Bears and Pandas, Legacy Fund, the Counseling Enhancement Fund. These three fees are managed by the Grant Allocation Committee, but the authority for making administrative decisions with respect to WUS and the Student Refugee Program is delegated to the WUS SRP BOD, the longest acronym that I've seen on my town council. And the program itself provides funding through students for refugee students who are studying at the University of Alberta, one in each year of study, so on the first, one second, one third, and one fourth year, and provides subsidies for living expenses and housing. And it's allocated according to a
forms are specified in our bylaw 6000, and the committee is responsible for ensuring that transactions comply with this formula, and the committee also has the ability over the contingency and investigative expenses of the board. And the commitment is small. I think last year met twice, and it's so once in the summer and then at least once throughout the year to deal with any issues that may arise. So it's an important position, and it's a low commitment, so a good ratio of experience to work. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Vice President Chima. Are there any nominations? Seeing none, Ms. Bowell.
I nominate Councillor Ritz.
Councillor Ritz, do you accept? Councillor Ritz, accept. Are there any further nominations? Seeing none, congratulations to Councillor Ritz. Okay, moving on to item 7B. Chima moves to appoint 3 members of Students' Council to the Students' Union Building Renovation Steering Committee. Is there a seconder hearing this motion? Vice President Sumar, Vice President Chima, would you care to introduce?
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker. The Sub-Renovation Steering Committee is an evolved version of last year's Sub-Planning Steering Committee, for those of you who remember that group. The committee will be tasked with providing overall guidance to the sub-renovation project, specifically in terms of the schedule, the budget, the design, and the communications between stakeholder groups for the project. The committee will also oversee a design subcommittee, which will meet more frequently and which will have representation from diverse groups as well, and which will work with our architects to collect feedback and to incorporate that into design. The membership of the committee will tentatively include 2 members of the SU exec, 3 members of council, 2 members from the Dean of Students Office, 2 reps from Facilities and Operations of the University, 2 reps from other stakeholder interests, and 2 reps from the senior management of the Students' Union. And I say tentatively because, of course, the terms of reference will have to be approved by the committee once we have constituted and ready to go. And the governance structure, where this fits in, is that it will be providing recommendations to the executive committee on the scheduling, budget, and design decisions as we move forward. And interim executive committee will provide recommendations to Students' Council with going through the budget and finance committee where necessary. The plan is for the steering committee to meet roughly once every 4 to 6 weeks, and the term would be for the next 11 months until the end of our terms on this council.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President. Are there any nominations? Governor Kelly.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Babbitt.
Ms. Kolick.
And I would like to accept on behalf of the
Perfect. Are there any further nominations? Councillor Ruth.
I'd like to nominate myself.
Councillor Ruth nominates himself. Are there any further nominations? Ms. Kolick.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Kelly.
My apologies, Kowalski. Okay, sorry, you'd like to nominate Governor Kelly. Governor Kelly, do you accept?
I accept.
Are there any further nominations? Councillor Bellinger.
I'd like to nominate myself.
Councillor Bellinger nominates himself. Any further nominations? Vice President Sumar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Councillor Lay.
Councillor Lay, do you accept?
Sure.
Councillor Lay accepts. Are there any further nominations? President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Councillor Smith.
Councillor Smith, do you accept?
I accept.
Are there any further nominations? Seeing none, we will move into a process by which we can select the members. So what will happen is we will go down the list in the order by which members were nominated. Each member will get 1 minute to speak. Ms. Kowalski will be given the opportunity to speak on behalf of Councillor Babbitt. After 1 minute speech each, we will go to a vote. So starting the order in which the speeches will go are Ms. Kowalski, Councillor Ruth, Councillor Kelly, Governor Kelly, Councillor Bellinger, Councillor Lay, Councillor Smith. So starting with Ms. Kowalski.
Thank you, Mr. I apologize that I'm only speaking to on behalf of Mr. Bathick, but you know, in a personal capacity. And he's very articulate, very driven, very qualified for the position. I think he would be excellent. He really would like to do this position, so I think he's not on any other committees currently, so I think that he would have a lot of time to commit to it, and I think that you should vote for him. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Ruth.
Thank you. Being a student in the art and design department, I have direct connections to students from that department, and I think offering a very valuable perspective design-wise. And, yeah.
Thank you very much. Governor Kelly.
Thanks. Thanks, Council. I'd like to, for the primary reason why I'd like to be on this committee is because I was on the committee last year and had sort of a role on the committee last year, and I really enjoyed my time there, and you know, there was a lot of great input I felt that I put into the process. Another important reason why I'd like to be on the committee is because I'm on the board of governors, obviously, of the university, and I think it would be potentially very useful to have somebody sort of as another vote, and obviously the executives, but potentially also as myself, because parts of the sub-reno will, like, there might be some negotiations with the university on that, so it could potentially be pretty strategic to have myself on that committee. And again, as I served on the committee last year, I really enjoyed it. I feel I made some meaningful contributions, so I'd like to be on the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Bellinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I guess it has a little name. I would love to be on this committee. I've been kicking myself since last year when I didn't put my hand up for the committee. It looked like an awesome time to actually see the inner workings of the design process and the creation of, you know, what we've seen so far. I've been lucky enough to actually witness every single presentation about the subject ever since its inception last year. I'd be very excited to actually serve on this committee and take some of the, you know, institutional memory of last year's council and bring it to this year's council as well within the design factor. Yeah, I really appreciate the ability to be on this committee.
Thank you very much. Councillor Lake.
Mr. Speaker, can I pull my name out of the running? I think I don't want to be wishy-washy when there are a lot of capable and passionate individuals. And as you guys were, as you guys saw, it's very, I'm sure. So, yeah, all the best to you guys.
I will allow this. Councillor Smith.
Okay, with respect to the sub-renovations, I just wanted to say that I also bring a different perspective. I know we all do, but as someone who has worked in the basement, which is a large part of what's being altered, I do have a different perspective than a lot of people don't. Because I've kind of seen kind of some of the issues with the current situation. Also, being it as Vice President Chimu referenced, there's a lot of connection to the Budget Finance Committee, which I'm also on, so I think that that might smooth some of the issues. Thanks.
Thank you very much. So with that, what we will do, since there are three spots available and there are currently five individuals, we will have three sets of votes where you can vote for if you would like that person or not. So you either vote yes or no, and you do not have to vote, but you can vote as many as three times. So everybody understand? I'll call out the name of the counselor in which we are voting for at the time we're doing that. And if you are on Skype, you can simply type in your three names and I will add them to the list.
So one will be yes or two will be no. Again, you can only vote yes three times total, and we will be doing this a total of five times. The order of names, which I'll be doing, is Councillor Babbitt, Councillor Ruth, Councillor Kelly, Councillor Bellinger, Councillor Smith. And by Councillor, I meant Governor Kelly. I apologize, third time. And so right now, this is for Councillor Babbitt, and you may vote now. Three, two.
two, one. Next is Councillor Ruth. You may begin voting now. Three, two, one. Next is Governor Kelly. You may begin voting now. Three, two, one. Next is Councillor Bellinger. You may begin voting now. Three, two, one. And finally is Councillor Smith. You may begin voting now. Three, two, one. I just have to make sure that there is the correct number of votes. You may talk amongst yourselves for a moment. I just checked. I can't because I have to table the letter in front of council, and it wouldn't be fair. I'm sorry. I just read over about that.
Not in the middle of blue or anything. Okay. Just got a new job. Can't do it.
That's fair.
Okay, congratulations to Councillor Smith, Councillor Bellinger, and Councillor Ruth. And with that, we will move into executive committee reports. So are there any members of the executive committee who wish to make an oral report? Vice President Chellen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So in an update to my written report, my apologies for the yesterday the General Council met one of the major pieces of business was a proposed grading and assessment policy suite. And so as of yesterday, the curve that used to appear in the back of the calendar that said 3% of students are required to get an A plus, 5% are required to get an A, that's now been eliminated. There is no longer a mandate. We also were successful, the GSA and the Students' Union proposed an amendment to the policy on the floor of GMC that stated that any new grading policies and procedures that faculties are required to create have to be clearly communicated to students through the university calendar, and that there's an appropriate level of oversight, and unfortunately, the policy didn't have that sentiment. So I would argue that it's strong success of the Students' Union in making sure students understand where they're going to come from during the grading process. We also learned about the university's intentions to sign a deal with Access Copyright. that has a number of implications for students, and the team is working on figuring out what those implications will be. It will result in the university paying a $26 per student fee. How that money will get transferred on to students is up for debate. And the last thing, and I'll just make an oral report for this, please, I'm working on my goals. If you have any thoughts or feedback on the academic goals, please don't hesitate to send me an email. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Vice President Sumar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a few things that I'd like to add on to my report, and one particular thing I want to highlight from my report. The first thing is, yesterday night, I actually had the opportunity to go to the Friends of the University of Alberta dinner. There were a bunch of really cool people there. Text of like an old guy who had a postdoc in chemistry. Governor Kelly was also there, but this guy was just awesome. Anyways, it was a great time. I got a chance to meet some alumni and some members of the university and the alumni council, who hopefully I'll be working with over the year. This morning, the Vice President of Operations and Finance and I had a chance to go to the Law Center Steering Committee meeting. We talked about a number of different things. It was a really productive meeting. And tomorrow and over the next couple of days, actually, the Vice President of Operations and Finance and I will be doing interviews for the Health and Dental Plan Committee. So I'll have the names to you of the committee members, hopefully by the next meeting of Students' Council. One more thing, like I said, I want to highlight something from my report. If you have any feedback on what you'd like to see in the PAWS Center Teaching and Community Kitchen, in terms of what activities you'd like to do in there, if you have some idea of what appliances you might like to use, that's really important information right now, because the SUGSA, as well as various student groups, are looking at how to fit that space. So we want to make sure that the student that goes into this, as this was a major factor in that being passed by students, the fee for the cost center. So if you have any thoughts at all, feel free to send them my way. Thank you.
2 minutes and 1 second, Mr. Vice President. Vice President Kuzmu.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My deepest apologies, Council, for having it done court late. It's just been quite a ridiculously hectic week. I have an executive summary and my on the first page, so I'm going to break down things really briefly. I want to just skip it because I did have it. Very quickly, there was the first session of the Alberta legislature started on Wednesday. So the selection of the speaker was on Wednesday. And the speech from the throne was on Thursday. I attended both events. I kind of weaseled my way and I got lucky enough to get tickets to an event. And I used the opportunity to try and meet some ministers, MLAs, and other people who might be useful in lobbying after. So I met with the Minister of Enterprise and Advanced Education, Mr. Khan, and he seemed like an extremely awesome guy, super friendly, and I've been looking forward to meeting with him. And I met a whole bunch of other MLAs who involved, including the university's MLA, Steve Young, and he seemed very excited to talk to students and talk with our students. So I did that. Friday I was preparing for CATS and some other things. I was going to complete some errands. And then I was gone from Saturday till this noon, essentially. I was in Winnipeg for CATS's conference and meeting other schools and trying to push for some of my campaign promises. And that's pretty much it. I've got a bunch of interviews. I got a couple more tomorrow. I got one more tomorrow, one more Thursday, and that's pretty much it. So, anyways, it's all my report. I have a summary, so you can check it out. And that's it. Apologies for late report, and we'll have it again. So, we'll try not to.
Thank you very much. Vice President Chima.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Vice President Sumar mentioned the current state of the Health and Dental Plan Committee. What he didn't mention about the Health and Dental Plan is the current state of the plan premiums and plan fees. In late March of this past year, we met with studentcaring.net/works, which is our plan broker and administrator, to discuss the fee for the next year as well as the premiums. They were projecting a marginal increase to the cost of the plan, so we went with an inflationary fee increase, which is our default increase, and we don't have a different amount to go by. So we did that, and at the same time, student care then decided to go out and conduct what's called a request for quotations. Essentially, they went out to market and contacted several different firms to provide quotations on insurance for our student health and dental plan. Myself, management, and vice president of student life reviewed the results of the request for quotation last week, and the results actually came in substantially better than both we and our broker expected. The difference between staying with our current insurance provider and switch providers was about 15%. So based on that, based on the advice of our broker, decided to switch and then go for the savings of 15% over staying with the current provider. So this won't affect next year's fee, but it will certainly affect the fee the year after, and it will beef up our reserve at the same time, which and the reserve is used to offset increases in years of substantial volatility, so there's a soft increase year to year. So this decision over 2 years of fee differentials will result in over $1 million in savings to students, both indirect and direct. So we're pretty pleased with that.
My apologies. Okay, with that, we'll move on to committee and board. Oh, President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a few quick things to touch on. First of all, I guess there's a lot of questions that were posed to myself and the executive committee. We've put our answers to those questions on the late edition, so please read through those. I think it's quite important. A few things that I've been doing recently, I attended the CASA transitional training this weekend with the Director of Research and Political Affairs and the Vice President External. I think we've built a lot of really strong relations with other CASA members from the western side of the country. And we're going to go in July to the Boston Strat conference where we'll meet the rest of the CASA members from all parts of Canada. I wrote one thing kind of a joke. I was saying that I'm trying to get a little bit more fit this year, so I'm trying to burn off my VPSL pound last year. If anyone's interested in joining me at the gym, I'm going to try and go run but every day. I had a board finance property committee meeting today. It was pretty good, nothing too notable, but I'm getting fairly comfortable with my position on the board and really happy to be building positive relationships with a lot of board members, even though they're quite a bit older than reps. Also, building a good relationship with the Alumni Association. I went to the Alumni Association Council annual general meeting, and they sent congratulations to past members like the Honorable Rory Tai for their service last year, so it's quite exciting. And outside of that, I finally have the counselor one-on-one meetings starting to get scheduled, so looking forward to speak with all of you soon, and make sure to come out for a treat.
Thank you very much. So with that, we'll move on to committee and board reports. So this is where if you are the chair of a committee or the chair of the committee has asked you to make a report, you may raise your placard and allow you to make a report. And same for the governor, if he would wish to make a report. So I see Councillor Wynn.
So I have an announcement to make for the retreat. It's going to be the location is booked, and it's going to be the upcoming weekend from the 1st to the 3rd. And the bus is going to be here on Friday at 5 p.m. by myself, so make sure you show up at 4:30 with your bag ready around like the fireplace area, ready to go. And on Sunday, the bus will leave at like 2:30 o'clock to go back to Edmonton. It's going to take about like an hour and a half to go, you know, to get there and get back. And so whoever has to confirm with Kelsey, please send her an email to let her know that you're going to go or not. Feel free to drop by, you know, in and out. If you can't make it all 3 days, you can just show up for a day. Also let you know, again, let Kelsey know. And the map is actually attached on the first email. You can drive about like the location you want to drive there. One more thing to know is the camp is a bunk bed. So it's got to be no pillow, no sheet. So you bring your own thing. We'll send you an email again to tell you what to bring for the streets. Last thing is alcohol is permitted, but make sure BYOB, so there you go.
Thank you very much. Are there any other committee or board reports? Governor Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I'll just talk about a few highlights from my written report, which you can find on the main agenda. As indicated in there, I've been doing a lot of different things in the past few weeks with regards to the blog reposition. I've got most of my electronic things started out, including Twitter and email. I'm working on finalizing my office space, as the computer I will be primarily using over here. I've also got some nice new business cards, which I was already using at the Columbia University AGM last week. As councillors may know, I was also going to propose a policy to council regarding freedom of speech, association, and peaceful assembly in the context of the Quebec student protest. But after I felt the policy was no longer necessary. Councillor Dominger expressed some concerns with the comments I made on Facebook. You can read my response to the report in my report on the agenda package, as well as the executive committee's response, which is included in the late edition. I will also be providing some of my additional thoughts and a spoken response to the councillor's question. Finally, I've had a number of meetings, including with the former blog rep, one of the former blog reps, sorry, I should clarify, Craig Turner. I attended the, as I mentioned, Friends of the University ATM last night, which Vice President Sumar also attended, and I attended my first Health, Safety, and Environment Committee meeting this morning. It was very good. More details about the meeting, but we'll just add. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So with that, we'll move into question period then. And so there are some written questions, as you can see. And I just wanted to make a couple notes for you all to understand. So firstly, whether it is written or orally, questions should always be addressed to a single member of council. And so if you're not sure of who to send the question to, you can always ask myself, or you can always send it to the president, and if it's directed to the executive committee, that is. And the president should be able to delegate which member would get the question. So for example, for the question today that's directed to the executive committee, I'm going to allow that to be directed to the president, and that's because the president speaks on behalf of the executive committee. But you should always address your questions to an individual member, whether written or verbal. You'll also notice in the first question, it is addressed to three members, but there is the clarifying comment at the bottom that says it's individual. And so what I'm going to do when there's written questions is I'm going to ask the individual who asked the question if there is if they would like any further clarification if a written answer was provided. And if there is no clarification required, then I'll move on to the next question. If you are sending an identical question to multiple members of the executive committee, it often likely will be the case that there will be one answer, so it may not be necessarily the best use of council's time, but that is completely up to you, and if it's what it's totally based on the question you want and what kind of answers you're looking for. So just all things to keep in mind. And so with that, the first question on the agenda is to the President, Vice President External, and Board of Governors Representative from Councillor Bellinger. And I'm not going to read it out loud because you can all see it, but there is a response, and I'm going to assume that response, because it's not titled, is from the President. And so I'm going to then direct the same question to the Vice President External, because there was no answer provided. The Vice President External, if he feels that the question was the same answer for both individuals, is free to say that. But with that, I will direct that question to the Vice President External.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, this statement is representative.
Very well. So then, same question to Governor Kelly.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to take the opportunity to just talk a little bit more about it. As I mentioned in my oral report, I would like to direct council to first examine my written response and my written report to council again in the main agenda, and the executive's response, which is included in the late editions. Since that time, though, of writing my written report, I've had the opportunity to meet with a number of different individuals to get their perspective on my statement, including previous speaker, prior speaker, the student governance advisor, and president. As council may be aware, last week I was intending on proposing a policy to council which would have obliged the SU to take a stance on student freedom of expression, association, and peaceful assembly. This was in the context of emergency legislation in Quebec called Bill 78. Many experts and organizations, including the Quebec Bar Association, the Quebec Human Rights Commission, the Canadian Civil Liberties Association, and Amnesty International, have argued that the bill is in violation of student civil liberties. As such, I felt obliged to take action. I met briefly with Vice President Kuzmu on Friday, and at that time he indicated that he would be making a statement on the student protests in Quebec.
which I felt was a good course of action to take, and no longer felt my proposed policy was necessary. This specific statement in question by Councillor Ballinger was in the context of my meeting with Vice President Kuzma, as I stated in the front, and as the executive response in the late editions has noted, my statement on Facebook was only my reporting of what I felt the SU was going to do, in light of Vice President External's comments. I do appreciate, however, that the statement could be interpreted as me acting as a spokesperson for the SU, and I do apologize if that's how it was interpreted, as that was not my intention. I, along with the executives, have been learning an awful lot in the past few weeks about the Students' Union, its operations, and its policies. I'm learning how to reconcile my activist orientation with, within the framework of the Students' Union, and I feel confident that there will not be similar concerns in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Ballinger, are you satisfied with the answers provided to your question?
For the most part, but I'll leave the parts that are unanswered to later questions.
Very well. So just to clarify, that's a very good use of how you could do that. So I will always ask, did the answers answer your question? If you have a new question, that's not the time to ask it. It's simply clarification to make sure that your question was answered in the way in which you intended it to be asked. So with that, we'll move on to the next question, which is also on the main agenda. And that is to the Executive Committee from Board of Governors Representative Kelly. And there is a response from the President on the late editions that you will see. And so I will ask Governor Kelly if you would like any further clarification.
Not at this time, Mr. Speaker, but I will be meeting with members of the Executive Committee in the next few days to just sort of talk with it individually about it at that time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And the next question is to the President from Board of Governors, Representative Kelly, which is also answered in the late editions. So for members of Council, the questions are all blended together somewhat in that same response. And you can see they are separated in a way that that should make sense to all of you. So Governor Kelly, would you like any further clarification on the question asked?
My response is the same as my previous response. Thank you.
Okay, so with that, we will open the floor up to questions. Are there any questions? Councillor Ballinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My first question is to the President. Will the Students' Union be publishing the answers to the questions I've asked of the or members of the executive as a press release in order to dispel any public confusion held around the statements by the Board of Governors?
President Yamaguchi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We actually haven't talked about this with the executive at this point, but the way that I'll take this question is that since this has been posted to the late editions of the student panel agenda, these documents have been made public, so if anyone is interested in finding the executive's position or are asking this question, just direct them towards the late editions.
Thank you very much. Governor Kelly. Oh, I apologize. Councillor Wynn?
What's that? I have a question for Mr. D.K. External. Can you give us a result on the get out of the vote?
Vice President Kuzma.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So that's something that I failed to bring up in my reports, and really, so apologies for that. This is a question that Councillor Powers brought to me the last council meeting. COS, our provincial lobby group, we're conducting our own annual survey of the Get Out the Vote campaign. We're going to be checking out in addition to analyzing the student turnout to the election, we're also going to try to figure out what are some best practices that the different universities, the UC, UGL, and us use in this campaign. So we can use that information in future campaigns and making sure that the more effective. The Board is a nonprofit organization that's also trying to encourage youth voter turnout. They're also coming up with their own results and findings. However, we're sharing the data with them, but we're not actually, actively analyzing the data. There's a worth of having some professors do that. So there's no limited concrete deadline, but one concrete deadline I should bring to the review is that by August 31st, we should hopefully have our internal survey done and get out of both campaigns and see how it was, et cetera. But just one personal reason, this campaign was extremely effective. So what happened last week was that MLA, Steve Duncan, this writer, he really was impressed with the get out of both campaign. He was really happy with us having the forms here. He won, so I guess I'll say that. But yeah, he was really happy, and I was actually stoked that he thought about it. So, keep your eyes posted, and I'll be sure to post if there's any questions.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is directed towards President Yamagishi. I was just curious what the purpose of the contingency allocation not to exceed $4,000 for the purpose of reprinting orientation material is for. If I could just get a little clarification on that. Thanks.
President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this is just kind of an oopsie that happened. A number of our departments. So we mailed out prepared a flyer to go to 12,000 first year students or incoming students to the University of Alberta. But unfortunately, there was a problem where a few of the dates were wrong on this flyer. So what the executive committee decided was that we were going to go towards a reprinting of this document. Yes, it's going to cost approximately $3,600 to do so. And the other option that was proposed was to put a sticky or a post-it note over that had, I believe the text was, "GERD, we messed up," something like that, and then had the correct dates on there. So unfortunately, it's a lot of paper that's going to be recycled and a bit of a cost to the SU, but we think that as this is the first contact that a lot of students will have with not only the university, but the students' union, that we want to make sure we are extremely professional and take a very positive impact on
them
with this
first
contact. Thanks.
Councillor Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is for President Chima. I'm not sure if I mentioned, but in terms of changing insurance providers, is there a big change in coverage or any major changes?
There will be. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Your pass effect initiative must be here. There will be no change to coverage and little to no change in the way the students interact directly with the plan. They'll be submitting their claims to the different, but if they do it through student care, then from the front end, that would be different. And any needed changes will be communicated quite broadly. We already do have a very extensive and thorough communication strategy for pushing out information regarding the plan, especially in regards to opt out with the students. And so we use that to push out information after that. So that's the change.
Thank you very much. Councillor Bellinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Board of Governors representative. Simple question, how do you feel your role works within the scope of the SU?
It's a very broad question. There's a lot of difference. My role is legislated through bylaw, but also partially through the Post-Secondary Learning Act. Could you clarify, do you have any specific response? Are there very specific things you want to address? I mean, I can talk about a lot of different things.
As long as his mic is on, you can.
Yeah.
Is allowing a point of information.
Would you like me to talk about my role in the Board of Governors, my role in Council, General Faculty Council?
How your role works or conflicts with that activist theory of thought? Does the Board of Governors role allow you to be an activist in the SU?
Absolutely. No, that's a great question. Having met with previous speaker, current speaker, president, and other student governance advisors, I feel that definitely my role can match up with my activist inclination within the framework of the students' union. My intention is, as I mentioned in my report, not to create confusing situations like the ones that we may have currently. Yes, I do feel that my activist inclination and my role within the Students' Union and on the Board of Governors can work together in a way that does not create problems. So.
What concrete steps are you taking to ensure that they don't conflict anymore?
Just to clarify this as well, these are all technically, I'm kind of counting them as points of information, so the governor may reject or accept any further questions, as councillors are only allowed to ask one question technically.
That's totally fine. As I mentioned in my report, I've met with the student governance advisor, the current speaker, the previous speaker, and all many members of the executive to get their thoughts into an awful lot of gray areas within Students' Union operating policies and Students' Union bylaws. We're all very early in our roles and our positions, and so I feel that we all have done a lot of learning and thinking about these issues over the last little while, and I feel confident that we have positive steps moving forward.
Is that right?
Sure.
I appreciate that you've been meeting with people, but what are you doing? Not a met. What are you actually going to be doing to make that?
What will I be doing? I just won't do things that conflict. I guess. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure.
I'm actually gonna step in here. I think these have been incorrect uses of generally point of information is meant for further clarification on a point. And so something that would technically not be point of information is, does the counselor realize, for example, does the counselor realize that he's incorrect or something along those lines? So the reason I was allowing that is because it was at first a kind of a clarification on what was the question, and so I thought a point of information would be the quickest way to make the question happen. However, what you saw there was it turned into more of a multiple question asking, which is not necessarily how the question period is supposed to work. So with that, I'm going to assume that the question was answered, and I'll allow Councillor Bellinger to raise his placard to ask another question, should he like to. So with that, Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for President Yamagishi. I was just curious if there will be any changes to orientation operating policy to prevent a mistake like this again, as it is somewhat costly. Ways to prevent this happening in the future.
President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to defer this question to the VP Operations and Finance.
Thank you. I have been assured by management that our marketing department has reconfigured their internal control policy on checking information on materials before they go to print. I'm sure this type of scenario doesn't happen again. That happened in response to this particular scenario. So to answer your question, yes, though I don't know the exact details of how that works, that I can look that up and submit information to you after the fact. A couple other related points. I'm working with the general manager to find offsets to this as well, both in terms of cost and in terms of the paper usage impact. Right now, we're in a process with our staff union that involves extensive questionnaires all joined by staff. Rather than doing this through paper, or at least through paper, I'm looking at doing this digitally. It's not 100% worked out yet, but I think we can save somewhere in ballpark, about 12,000 sheets of paper by doing it that way, which certainly doesn't negate the fact that we have to reprint these flyers, but hopefully it helps offset that impact a little bit. And then in terms of cost, we're hoping to find savings elsewhere. We don't know exactly where, but it's something on our radar. 3600 it's not negligible, but that's it also been great for the bank. And then the one other comment I want to add is that the contingency reserve is a budgeted reserve, and it's used by the executive committee to cover vital non-fiscal expenditures to the organization. The reserve is defined in bylaw 3000, and it's used for things that can't be predicted. Recently, it has not gone over budget.
Thank you very much. Councillor Bellinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for Ms. Bonwell of Council Canada. And I'm not sure if Deb or Council Canada has given you any points about this. Feel free to give this to someone else who's on the policy committee.
I know I understand this is a very important topic for the policy committee this year. I just didn't hear any updates from the policy committee on if they're updating practices on evidence-based policies. Just wondering if there's any movement on the question.
Yeah, can I pass that on to someone else who might have details?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, in the last policy meeting, we dealt with the Senate. We dealt with that. So, the last policy meeting, the question directed something that just confusing academic materials policy. So, the Vice President Academic and I are going to be working to update that and bring back the policy meeting. We also had Council Bassett provide some feedback and some legal, I guess you can say, if you can get insights, I guess, from the policy. The second thing is we've talked about the importance of making sure that we had this conversation about research-based policies. And I've already been in talks with Councilor Bellinger and the committee chair about setting the preparation meeting, so we have further talks about this and we'll bring it forward to council, to the policy committee, because everyone seems to be interested in this. So,
yep.
It's on the way, and
thank you very much, Councillor Obiafuna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for Vice President Chellen. When will the changes to the evaluation system be applied? When will the changes be applied?
Vice President Chellen.
Thank you very much for the question. It's now approved. It will be, the changes are immediately effective in the calendar as well as on the University of Alberta policies and procedures online, and they will be effective on September 1st, 2012 semester.
Councillor Cucci-Cazill.
My question is for Vice President Chellen as well. And in regards to the grading policy, is there any chance it will be retroactive, so applying to grades previously mainstream board?
Vice President Chellen.
Thank you very much for the question. No, the policy isn't retroactive. It applies starting September 1st. So let's try to kind of get your scale up to an A-minus policy right now.
Thank you very much. And that exhausts our first 15 minutes. I currently have two names on my speakers list. I will move on unless I see five placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Very well. We'll move on to our second 15 minutes with Councillor Obi. Oh, sorry, Councillor Holt.
My question is directed at Vice President Chima. One of the concerns I had with the current student insurance plan was that although opting out was fairly easy, I knew a lot of students didn't get their checks for a very long time. I didn't get mine, I paid the fee in the beginning of September, didn't get a check until after exams in December. And I was wondering if that was being addressed at all when you're looking for a new plan, new service provider, I guess.
Vice President Chima.
That's a good question. Thank you for the question. The way the refunds work for office, this is processed through Financial Services and the Registrar's Office. So what happens is the opt-out deadline is several days before the state payment deadline. So you opt-out. Last year was September 25th, and it'll be around there this year. But I don't want to quote exact dates. And so that gives student care several days to inform the Registrar's Office that of the students who have opted-out. And then that gets removed from their account. Now, if you haven't paid your tuition by that point in time, and you pay on the tuition deadline or a couple days before, then you simply wouldn't end up paying it. But if you've already paid your tuition at the point at which you opt out, then you receive a refund. Now, because this is processed by the university's administration, we don't have any direct control over that, but it's something that we can look into to see if we have issues that have been affected. I don't know if the former Vice President Student Life has any further insight on what might happen last year.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, I know this was a large issue that came up and student care addressed it with us directly. They're going to be working closely with the Registrar's Office to make sure that they can run this as smoothly as possible. However, with just the general way that we have our change of coverage period ending at a time that is close to but not exactly parallel with fee deadlines and fee registrations, for the university, there always will be a slight delay on this. One thing I will address is that because we are switching providers for their insurance, students who have already made claims right now, we have to do a communications plan to show them that even though most students will take their claims to the Health and Dental Plan office in the Loyola Books Hub and have student care mail them for them, some students choose to mail it directly to the insurance provider. So since we're switching from sunlight to digital dent, we'll have to make sure that people know to do that. That could cause some problems, but we'll try our best to facilitate that process.
Thank you very much. Councillor Obiafuna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for President Yamagishi. I was reading your report and you talked about a strategy to move the Fall Reading Week. And I remember from last council, former President Tai talked about some conflicts with the engineering faculty and how they wouldn't be able to get into that for a few years. Have you pursued that? Have you contacted them to see if there could be a way to figure out when that could happen and how they'd be able to restructure their classes to facilitate that? Thank you.
President Yamagishi.
Sure, thank you for the great question. It's also very timely. I just sent an email today to the Dean of the Faculty of Engineering, and it's just to follow up on a question that was asked in the last presidential term to see what the Dean's thoughts were on the fall reading plans in general, and if they had future plans to join the fall reading week if accreditation was no longer an issue in the future. However, at this time, we're not looking to include them immediately into the fall reading week plan because of reasons of accreditation. Plus, we just want to make sure that this is facilitated smoothly. And the dean previously has expressed thoughts that it could be hazardous to engineering accreditation. We don't want to put something this serious on the line for a fall reading week, and hopefully they'll be able to join us in the future. So, I can defer to the vice president's feedback on that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to give you guys some more background on exactly why engineering wouldn't be able to be a part of this right away. The reason, as President Yamagishi mentioned, is because of accreditation. Accreditation within engineering has a certain amount of criteria. It is composed of attributes as well as minimum time for classes. With the sort of removal of two teaching days, this would put the faculty and certain classes under that time, which means that they need to sort of check with the Board of Accreditation to make sure that that's still valid. We aren't the only post-secondary institution that's sort of facing this challenge. There's about 8 or 10 of them that are like the top engineering schools in Canada that are sort of facing this same problem. I know Mr. Ross has a lot more background on it. Your attention over there. So if you're really curious about exactly how accreditation works, he's pretty much like the resident expert in this room. I'm sorry to point you out. But just to give you some more background as to why engineering wasn't able to be a part of what we need right away, but I'll defer back to President Yamagishi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And so accreditation is facilitated through a group called OPEGA. And because of this, it's a very complicated situation. What I would say to be very simple about this is that the only two groups that really understand how accreditation works would be probably the Dean of Engineering and the OPEGA themselves. So for us, we more or less are just waiting on feedback from the Dean. We'll update you guys once that shows up.
Point of information.
Yeah, sure.
Is there any talk of this expanding this to the Department of Medicine? Like with the fall?
Sure. We definitely talked to the Student Association about this. They talked about some difficulties they might have because of the difference in schedule. So there's a number of health science faculties like pharmacy, dentistry, and medicine that don't, I think nursing as well, that don't follow the standard midterm and final schedule. So we want to make sure that we can facilitate this in a way that their modules don't get screwed up. So for example, say in the faculty of pharmacy, they'll have one course where each day is a separate module, it's a completely different topic. So one lucky thing for that faculty and the health science faculty is they're looking to renew their curriculum by 2015. So hopefully if we can get to quickly, that will give them enough time to fix the schedule so everything can be coordinated. When I spoke to this was the last year's MSA executive, they were in favor of the idea of fall reading week, but they said that we definitely need to sit down at the drawing board and make sure that this is something that we're going to go without having students. So,
okay. Okay, so with that, that exhausts the speakers list, and unless I see any final questions, we move on to our last item of business. Okay. So with that, we'll move on to board and committee business and item 6A, which is Chima Smith move that Students Council upon the recommendation of the Budget and Finance Committee approve an allocation not to exceed $215,000 from the building reserve for the purpose of completing the design development phase of the sub-renovation project. Vice President Chima, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm setting a timer here so I don't go over my 6 minutes. So as far as context goes for this project, I'm going to assume that everybody has a base level of knowledge based on the presentation that we gave at the last meeting of council and the strategic proposal document that was distributed with the agenda package at the meeting of council, this guy here. This motion is upon the recommendation of the Budget and Finance Committee to allocate $215,000 to bring the project up to and complete a stage called design development. Now, what is design development? This scale of capital project has a series of very well-defined steps. There's schematic design, which is an early phase. It's essentially the creation of floor plans and of functional planning to program different areas of the building. The following stage is design development. This is a bit more in-depth than floor planning. It involves more refined design, more information about room specifications and furnishings and the like. Following design development, there's a stage called construction drawings, and following that, there's tendering, actual construction, and then, of course, construction phases. This motion is to complete schematic design, and which is a prerequisite for design development and complete design development. And why design development? The referendum that was voted on by students this March for the Students Union Capital Fee includes as one of its provisions that the fee will not begin to be assessed until a design development report has been completed and approved and found to be acceptable by Students' Council. So is that, and the reason that lever or decision points included in the referendum question is because that's probably the earliest point in time at which Council will have the decisions, sort of the information they need to make a decision about whether or not to proceed with the project in its entirety. And to go beyond that before a decision is made is pricey and potentially not a good use of resources if there's a chance the project will move forward in its entirety. So design development is the logical decision point, and that's what we're proposing we move forward with here. What's involved in making this happen? The fee is broken down into two components. So one is for project management services, and the other component is for architectural services. A project manager is a professional responsible for planning, executing, and closing a construction project. And they are particularly interested in the constraints such as scope, schedule, and the budget of the project. The architects, that's a team of specialists who essentially, they create a concept.